passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times, where we are changing the world one ohm at a time. Here on the Dr. Kevin Show, we try to inspire you, motivate you, challenge you, pick you up by your ankles, shake you upside down, and see what falls out. We are a live call-in show, so you can call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. Or you can go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N. You'll see all about today's guest. You'll be able to post comments, which we'll share on air. And when you're there, don't forget to like me. I'm a likable guy, so even if you have to take my word for it, get over it. I am. So make sure you come to my page and like me and see what's going on with today's guest and share comments. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the world today, and there are a lot of people very unhappy about it. But they tend to whine and grumble. They tend to complain and oftentimes take no action. We invite you to take an action tonight. Speak out. Make good constructive criticisms and observations. Come to us with solutions or ideas, and who knows who will be listening that may be able to implement your idea or make a positive change in the world, which means you made a positive change in the world. It's your world. Show up. Call in or post on My Dr. Kevin and be part of the conversation. Before we get around to introducing today's guest, as always, we do the hot topic. Now, for those of you who might be joining us for the first time, when I do a hot topic, it goes something like this. It's either something that got me hot under the collar or something that made me feel warm and fuzzy. Today, we have a warm and fuzzy. I really felt for a while I was doing a lot of hot under the collars, but, you know, it was kind of sort of the political climate. But today, I have a warm and fuzzy. I will share it with you. And then after I share it with you, I will introduce today's guest, and we're going to see what she thinks about the warm and fuzzy and what she would like to do. Now, I'm going to completely murder this person's name. I just want you to know this ahead of time. I believe it is Jitanya Rao. Jitanya Rao wants to make polluted water safer with a lead detection system. So this person created a lead detection system that comes with an app, and you get a little thing. You can put it in your water. She was motivated by the Flint water crisis because you can't always tell when the water you're drinking is poisoned. In fact, you can rarely tell when the water you're drinking is poisoned. And you put it in there, and then you hit a button, and it will tell you whether it's safe, whether it's questionable, or whether it's unsafe. So, and she wanted to do this compact test, which she believes can be faster, cheaper than other current methods, because the person can do it right on the spot. As long as you can go online and you have the app, you can do it. And she won a $25,000 prize for this in science. So there's a few things here. One, I love it when I see more and more women getting into science. I feel like we're breaking down old barriers that have kept women out of the science and math fields. And it was just a lot of poppycock. Women can be just as good at science and math as men, but they're trained, they're led to believe, they're brainwashed that those are not very feminine fields, that they're not going to be very attractive if they go into them. And so I'm always glad and I'm always excited to hear about this when this happens. Now, I'm going to steal from somebody I used to listen to a lot when I was growing up, which was Paul Harvey. For those of you who don't know, Paul Harvey has passed on. And though I may not have agreed with a lot of his outcomes or a lot of his politics, I always loved the way that he would tell you this story you would take a break, and then he would say, and now for the rest of the story, where he'd give you some little insider zinger. And it was usually, you know, inspirational, motivational, something that will give you, you know, give you hope. Jitanya Rayo, and I'm going to put this on mydrkevin.com under tonight's thing, so you can go read it yourself if you'd like, is a seventh grader from Colorado. A seventh grader did this. So not only was it a woman in science, it was a 12-year-old girl woman in science. And I just think that that's fabulous. It gives me a lot of hope. And I think that we have a generation of kids that are coming up, and they know that they're going to have to solve a lot of the problems that we caused. And they're going to be cleaning up our mess. And this is a case of somebody who's cleaning up our mess. So now I'm going to introduce today's guest. Today's guest is Victoria Buckman, Empowerment Enterprises. She lists herself as a sales genius and trainer, a higher guidance business coach, and you can see more about her at Program for Wealth. We also have some Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter. Again, please make sure that if you come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, you will have all of those links, and you can do that. You can click right over and be in communication, or leave messages for her right here. Victoria, are you there?
I am here.
So,
yes.
what do you think of our seventh grader? Had you heard about her before?
I had not heard about her, and was it Jitanya?
Yeah,
I'm going to call her Jay. Short.
Yeah.
So, I think she's amazing. I think she is believing in herself when you talked about beliefs, and she's going for the science, and she's going to be a woman who is going to change the world. And that's a lot of the kids that are coming up nowadays are coming in as problem solvers, like you said, with beliefs that some of these problems that we think we can't tackle, they know they can. So I love that positive attitude.
You know, and I think that one of the things is that not only do they think they can, but they feel like they have no choice. They have to clean up this mess.
Yes.
So I want to, I can't applaud this girl enough. I think it's wonderful what she's done, and I think that it's wonderful that we have more women being supported, or young girls, to go out there and change the world, because I think the world would have been a better place if they hadn't been kept out of so many fields and so many positions of power. I think that we would be far, far better off for humanity if we had started to make this change a couple thousand years ago. I don't know about you, but that's how I feel.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And, you know, we know that the Dalai Lama said that the Western women are going to change the world. He didn't say how old they would be, right?
Absolutely. now, Victoria, we're going to move right up to another woman who's changing the world, who's a little older than 12. I'm not making a comment on your age here, but I do happen to know that you're a little older than 12. We're not going to say how much. I want to see where you would like to take our listeners outside the box. Where would you like to stretch their comfort zones? And remember, this can be about your area of expertise or any number of areas of expertise. I don't care what it is, as long as it's helping my listeners expand their awareness.
Okay, Dr. Kevin, thank you. Since you started out talking about beliefs, I'm just going to go there. So people need to know that their beliefs and their imagination are the most important aspects of creating success in their life. And what I mean by that is we don't realize that our beliefs run our behaviors on autopilot. And our beliefs were formed at such an early age. They're so deep down inside us, we couldn't speak them out loud if we tried. So we don't even know what we believe. And those beliefs are either driving you in a direction that's taking you towards success, an amazing life, a healthy life, you know, or they're taking you in the opposite direction. So a lot of times people talk about self-sabotage. We don't actually sabotage ourselves, but these deep down beliefs do. And what goes right along with our beliefs in creating success is our imagination. Our imagination is an underused tool that we have at our fingertips that we just don't use enough. What do we tell kids? What do we tell these 12-year-olds, you know, these seventh graders? Hey, get your head out of the clouds. Quit, you know, daydreaming. Quit imagining. Well, that's the opposite of what we need to do. Your imagination is so powerful. It allows you to visualize. It allows you to visualize your success. So one of the things I want these listeners to know about the brain is we have something called the reticular activating system. We call it RAS for short. Basically, all it is a filter. We have so many things coming at us, so much data coming at us, that if we didn't have a filter, we'd all be even more insane than we already are, right? So your RAS filters out anything that you that it doesn't deem as important or that you haven't experienced before. So if you're trying to reach a level of success, and a lot of us measure success by the amount of income we bring in, which is only one part of success, but let's just go with that for this example. If you want to make more income than you ever have, you've never experienced that. It's something that your RAS is going to filter out. So you could have possibilities, opportunities, something right in your face that would take you to a whole nother level, and your RAS, that filter, is going to filter that opportunity out. You're not going to see it, and you don't get to participate in it. So if you use your imagination and you visualize this new level of success, this new amount of income, I used to sit upstairs and I used to do in my mind, pretend I was counting out $100 bills. I put them into stacks of 10 and I would cover my whole entire bed with all these stacks of 10 $100 bills until I had $10,000 sitting on the bed in front of me. And I would just sit there and I would look at it. All in my imagination. And when you do that, the mind does not know the difference between you actually physically doing it, counting out this money, or if you're just imagining that you're doing it. So now I've had an experience of all these $100 bills all over my bed. So now when the opportunity comes before me, I actually see it. I can take it. I can take that opportunity. I can go for it. There's a funny story about Christopher Columbus. When he sailed up to the island, all the islanders, they saw these guys getting off this big old ship, but they didn't see a ship. They had no frame of reference. They had never seen a huge sailing ship. They had no frame of reference of what a large ship was, so they literally did not see it. That's what our RAS does. So, but what you believe and using your imagination in a fun way to visualize is the most important thing you can do to create success in your life. When you change your internal state, you will change your external reality.
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely there's two or three things I want to comment on because, you know, being a spiritually based show, you know, different, and I'm always fine with us repeating things or having a different way to spin concepts. I think that in the spiritual community, they've been talking about these concepts for a long time. But they may talk about them a little differently. So I'm happy to discuss these again with you, Victoria. We, you know, one of the things is that we have to look that part of this problem actually starts by a broken education system that teaches you what to think, but not how to think. You get imagination, but when you don't get critical thinking skills, you don't ever get to the point of bringing it, like in the Plato's three-story universe, from imagination into reality. Whether that's an invention, whether that is a way of being in the world, whether that's a table. You can picture a table, but if you can't build it, then what good is it? So I think that imagination is fabulous, and I'm a big fan of it and use it myself all the time. But I also think that we need to have some critical thinking skills, because even if we see an opportunity, if we haven't been taught how to think, we may not be able to maximize it. Thoughts?
I totally agree. We are taught what to think, not how to think. That's a huge topic right there. And yes, we need to teach people how to think outside the box. And the critical thinking skills are important. What's fabulous about the imagination is if you can imagine it and you can go there, what happens is the how, what kind of actions you need to take, will also come through the imagination, and you'll get inspired actions. And inspired action put together with critical thinking allows you to create these great things that you're thinking about.
Yeah. And one of the things, and I know any minute now, and there it is, we'll be right back with Victoria Buckman.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more. All to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times Radio, where we're waiting, wait for it, where we're changing the world one Om at a time. Here on the Dr. Kevin Show, we like to inspire, motivate, educate, inform, and challenge you. We are on with Victoria Buckman today, Empowerment Enterprises. Victoria is a sales genius and trainer of Higher Guidance Business Coach. You can learn more about her at programmedforwealth.com. You can also come to facebook.com/mydrkevin. You will see all of her links. You'll see her lovely face, and you can leave comments and participate in this conversation. You can also call in because we are now a live call-in show, and you can call in at 202-570-7057. Victoria, are you still with me, or did I scare you away?
No, I'm here. I'm not scared away yet.
I want to follow up. We were talking about imagination, and then I'm going to move into the next segment. But one of the things that I want to put out there and have us chat about is that we want to make sure, I use the term ego and ego construct. And I say that because I've got a little different definition. My regular listeners are going to be familiar with it, but new listeners and yourself will not be. Ego is our unique face of God. It's a good thing. It's that face of God that makes us unique from everyone else. Ego constructs are the way we were trained of who we are supposed to be, how we're supposed to act. And I call those ego constructs because when you keep on saying to people, it's bad to have ego, it's saying it's bad to be an individual. It's bad to be you. So I just kind of like to put that out there. So what I do want to say is we have to make sure, especially in the thing of manifestation, that ego constructs are not what's imagining it. Because your ego constructs will give you things that you will end up not manifesting because they are not actually real to your soul. They're not really in harmony with who you are. Sometimes you can manifest them anyways, and then you end up being a victim of be careful of what you ask for. But, you know, your ego construct would have you imagining that you are going to, manifest yourself, 40 pounds thinner and 3 inches taller and $1 million in the account and a whole line of men to wait on you hand and foot, your ego would never do that. And this is where people get confused because they think their ego constructs are like, well, if I'm all these things, then people will like me. If I'm all these things, then my mother will be proud of me, or I won't be the ugly duckling of the family, or I won't be the fat one. And I just want people to be careful because if they don't understand the difference, they have to make sure that they're actually using the imagination, their pure, true wisdom imagination when they do these. Thoughts on that, Victoria?
I totally agree with that. I do a class called Your Soul's Resume. And if you have somebody that you would highly admire, what are the qualities that you admire in that person? And when somebody's sitting in the class, they can write down all these qualities of who they admire: integrity, honesty, generosity, compassion, love, peace, all these different things. And then when I tell them, you could not have recognized those qualities in someone else if they weren't in you. They are reflecting off of your heart. So they're in you. That's who you're describing yourself. I see that as your face of God, your ego, your wisdom self, right? And, not the mask, not who you're supposed to be, who we think everyone wants us to be. So I totally agree with where you're taking that.
Yeah, well, thank you. I think that it is so important because the whole concept of manifestation and imagination and breaking through the blocks has been so maligned by the snake oil salesmen that have come into the spiritual community and don't really understand the concepts, but they know that it's a billion-dollar industry, so they kind of repeat what sounds good and puts a little slick on it. And it's so important that people understand that, if you say om and sit cross-legged and repeat the same thing 3 times a day, 3 times for 30 days, you will not miraculously become somebody that you were not born to be. And so I always like to warn my people about that. So, yes. Victoria, we are now I ask you this for a reason. This is not a good or bad thing when I ask the question. Did you get a chance to listen to any of my shows?
I haven't.
Okay, good. Then you have to take the quiz. If you listen to the show okay. and you know what the quiz is, then I don't make people take it. So, ha ha! You have to take the quiz. So, from what movie did this line come from? Ignore the man behind the curtain.
Wizard of Oz.
Very good. I do that because this is called Behind the Curtain. And, you know, first of all, I think it was always great that Toto, the dog, was the one that exposed the con artist, also known as the wizard. But a lot of times we have people out there, and they exist in our government, they exist in our religions, they exist in our corporations, our doctors, you name it, that are trying to sell us something that is other than the truth. They're the scam artist, and they want you to ignore the truth. So this is where I want you to share a truth that you think that people, for the most part, are being misled on or don't really understand because how it's being represented. What truth would you like to share?
Well, let's just go with the same theme that we've had, and the truth is about success and how to create it.
So what truth would you like to expose?
Success. So what I want to expose is we all, not all of us, but a large portion of us have a dollar value, an amount of money that we make is equal to success. And in order to get to that, you have to do this, do that, do. And it's do. It is, success is, even if you had a large amount of money, if you had $1 million but you couldn't spend it, it's not going to make you happy. It's what is the feeling, what is the experience that you get to have that dollar amount will bring into your life. And it's not so much what you do to create success, it's about who you're being. And that goes back to what you said, your definition of ego, your own internal wisdom, your own internal face of God, if you will. Who are you being? Your energy of who you're being goes out way before you speak any words. And, you know, the misrepresented truth behind the curtain is that you have to work hard. And that, you know, success is equal to a dollar amount, and it might, you know, look like a house or some kind of car or this or that. And, you know, and you need to do things, and that visualization is a waste of time. So visualization and who you're being and your energy, all of that is what creates success. Success for somebody, if we polled everyone, they'd all have a different idea of what success was. But if you kept asking them, what is that going to bring you? What is that going to bring you? All the way down to, you know, they can't think of anything anymore. It's to have a feeling of feeling good. It's to feel loved. It's to be happy. That's what success is about. Rather than what the media and what we're told and the magazines and all the things that paint this picture of, you know, you got to look like this in this kind of a body, you got to be wearing these kind of clothes, you got to be driving this kind of car, you got to be driving, you know, you need to live in this neighborhood. Our idea of success has been kind of twisted, and it's got us into these doing beings rather than, you know, I mean, we're these human doings rather than human beings. So we need to get back to our own qualities, our own wisdom. Who are we? We are all magnificent. We are all generous. We are all giving. We are all compassionate. Maybe some of these qualities are in seed form, and they need to be watered and bloomed a little bit, and some of them are in full bloom. But that is who we really are, and our success is about bringing happiness to ourselves and sharing that with others.
Well, a lot of times, don't you think that the problem is that we don't give people permission to have feelings, let alone to know that they deserve? I mean, there's a lot of disconnect between that, you know, how we are taught that we should feel about ourselves, how our self-worth and self-esteem gets destroyed. And then you, and then people say, well, dream big. But if you feel like your foundation tells you you don't have what it takes to dream big, then you dream failure. And so I think that there's a core here that we want to, you know, make sure that people get in touch with that says, you know, get, you know, as you're dreaming this stuff, and you clean out and you clear out all of the incorrect belief systems, as you get rid of all of this stuff and you empower yourself and realize being you is being perfect because it's perfectly you, then boom, you'll know what makes you happy. And there are really possessions involved. Thoughts.
Yes, yes. And it's interesting because you were saying cleaning out all these beliefs, and not very many people, you know, how do you do that? How do you clean out all these beliefs? We forget that belief is a choice. I have a choice to believe that, you know, I'm not good enough, not enough, not this enough, not that enough, or I have a choice to believe I'm magnificent. So we can go in and change these beliefs in an instant, if we wanted to. We have a 50-50 chance here. You can believe one side or you can believe the other side. And they need to know that they have that choice. They need to know that they can empower themselves by choosing what they believe, not what they were programmed to believe.
Yeah. And, you know, first of all, it's empowering people to know that they actually have a choice. A lot of people, you know, my primary practice for the last 28 years has been as a spiritual coach, counselor, and catalyst. And, you know, a lot of times people don't even know that they have a choice to shift this stuff. And getting them to understand that they have the choice, and then making it safe for them to choose that. Because it doesn't feel safe. You said it yourself at the first in the first segment. You know, we have this filter, and one of the things it ignores is something we've never had. So if you have somebody that was raised in a very abusive, miserable, downtrodden childhood, they don't even really know what happiness is. It's like you have to find the moments that were scattered like seeds to the wind and then get them to expand those.
Yes. Not only do they not know what it is, they didn't even know that they were missing it.
Yep. Yep. And they don't have an idea that the world can be other than what the world is that they've had. And so I think that, you know, giving them, letting them know that they have a choice and what that choice is, but giving them, empowering them to know that they have a right, you know. You know, what did our founding fathers say about, you know, an inalienable right to the pursuit of happiness? Now, they didn't say happiness. They didn't say that you had a right to happiness. You have a right to pursue happiness.
Right.
So what do you think is the single most difficult limiting belief system that you have to pry away from somebody that you work with? Because you've been doing this a long time, right? How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this, oh my goodness, longer than I want to tell you.
Okay.
I've been doing it seven, I think. Officially about 30 years.
Yep. So you and I are kicking around the same time. And so what you so what do you think is the hardest to pry away from people?
I think the hardest is, well, there's two, and they kind of overlap. The one is I'm not enough. But it stems from fear. Our world is so fear-based. Everything is based off of fear. And people don't realize that they're running around making all of their decisions, doing everything from a place of fear.
Do you think that's gotten worse? Or do you think... Okay.
Yes. I won't mention any names, but
You can mention names if you want. Trust me, that name's mentioned on this show. But I think it goes beyond just, I mean, I call him our bully in chief.
There you go. Okay.
And you know, and people have called me on being disrespectful. And I said, no, I'm just observational. There's a difference.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he bullies people. But even before our bully in chief got into office, I think that we are being sucker punched by Madison Avenue and by Hollywood and by the corporations that pay the ad dollars to keep us in fear, because we buy more and we do more. And I think that there is a general overall playing, taking advantage. And I think they start by brainwashing young kids that they're not good enough, and they have to have this or they have to have that. If they don't, they're not loved, or they're not going to be popular. And you start shoving that fear of isolation down their throat, or rejection or abandonment, as soon as they can start to do it. I mean, you know what? I think if in this day and age, if you didn't let a child watch TV until they were like 10 or 11, that we might be all better off. And we'll be right back with Victoria Buckman, Empowerment Enterprises.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner, and your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making Home Affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show. We have Victoria Buckman on today, Empowerment Enterprises, sales genius and trainer, higher guidance business coach. You can learn more about her at facebook.com/Victoria.Buckman. And that's B-U-C-K-M-A-N-N. She's so good, she's got a double N at the end of her name. So she's twice as good as anybody else doing what she's doing. Right, Victoria?
That's right.
That's right. You can find out more about Victoria also by coming to facebook.com/mydrkevin, where you will see her picture, her write-up, and all of her links that you can click on and check out her website, Program for Wealth. Or you can call in, because this is now a live call-in show. That's 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. And be part of the conversation. Okay, so we are into the what a load of crap. So we have really run through the first two segments, staying pretty consistently on the same topic. So I'm going to throw you a curveball. Tell me what's a load in the crap in the world that has nothing to do with what you've said before. I think we've nailed that into our listeners' head. Let's go somewhere else.
Okay. I think, well, it's kind of similar, but okay, we'll go somewhere else. I think the load of crap that we've been, that's going on in the world today is that we have been led to believe that debt is good. Most people have a poverty mindset, even if they are a multimillionaire. We've been led to believe that, you know, being in debt and credit card debt and all this different kind of debt is a good thing. It means we have stuff. And I think that's a load of crap.
Yeah, I don't know that we think that it's good. Maybe some people do, so I'm not going to completely. I don't think it's good. I think it's worse that we think that it's necessary, that we have no choice. We're going to go back to choices here. Victoria, I think that some people feel like, if I have it, then I'm going to use it to buy myself worth and to show restraint, to show discipline, to not to curb my impulsivity. And it's impulsivity that's driven by the fact that people feel overall powerless in this country.
I have to agree with that.
Yep.
Yes.
And so that's why depression is at an all-time high. And what happens is that we feel like we really don't have a voice in our government. We don't feel like we have a voice in our health care. We don't feel like we have that there are so many places where we don't have a voice. But then again, we don't fight to have a voice. We accept it. We become apathetic. We're looking for excitement in our life. And the excitement comes at the end of a piece of plastic by getting something that you don't need. You don't want, you know. So I think that there's a cycle there. And then you get the bill. And then you paid five times more for it by the time you paid it off because of the interest. But we've made that acceptable. We have made it completely okay, and no one questions it. And, you have credit card companies that are charging 30% interest on your stuff. And you're like, really? Was it really worth the 30%? Did I really need a fourth TV in my house? Really?
Well, and that's interesting because I just learned something just today that when you use credit cards instead of using cash, you spend 12 to 18% more than you would have if you used cash. So you're not only spending more, almost 15 to 20% more. Then on top of that, then you've got the interest, and you say we feel kind of apathetic and, you know, we don't feel like we have a choice, but I'm going to go back to, with the food and drugs that we're given, we can't even think clearly anyway. So, no wonder why a lot of people are depressed.
Well, and you look at it because, you know, there's a couple of things, and this is coming right out of my personal right now life, which is, you know, I was married in the fall. I got married in October, and my husband and I are looking for a house, and he comes from a background where you just didn't use credit. You just didn't use it. You didn't use it. You didn't use it. And hasn't. I mean, outside of having a loan for his car and paying it off a couple of years ago, he had no debt. Had no debt at all. Didn't use any credit cards and stuff. We're trying to get a house now. Well, you know, that's one thing I'm like, well, you know, yeah, you get a mortgage. It would be nice to say you want to save up until you can buy the house of your dreams in cash. Can happen, has happened, but, you know, I kind of give a little bit of a pass for mortgages. Guess what? He has a bad credit score. Well, because he has no credit history. So they force you, if you want to get a car, you have to pay more interest if you have no credit history. And you can't get a house unless you have to do something to create it. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
That's that poverty mindset that we were talking about. It's, you know, they want us in a poverty mindset. They want us using credit cards. They want us in debt. They want us, you know. And so, and then if you do the opposite where your husband did, which is fabulous, that's the definition of the true definition of financial freedom, paying cash for things and not being in debt. And then you're penalized because you don't have any credit and you can't get a house now.
Yeah, I mean, and we're gonna get a house and we're gonna work it around. But you know, it was really funny, and I caught it before we started applying because I knew that was gonna happen. I'm like, well, what's your credit score? What's this? What's that? You know, we're newly married. We're still, you know, and you know, there are some things even when you live together and you've dated and all of that stuff that, you know, when you get married, it gets into a deeper level of, you know, of, you know, stuff of understanding the other person's, you know, all the person's stuff. And, you know, as soon as he said that, we were on a plane flying somewhere and they were going by offering our one of the plane credit cards. I said, you're going to apply, go apply now. And I gave it to him. And he's like, I don't want to manage it. When I was a kid, I saw people mismanage credit cards and it caused all sorts. I said, I'll manage it for you. I don't care. I've got all sorts of credit and owe almost nothing on any of it, but I got a credit history. And I said, so I set it up. I'm like, okay, so now you get this. You're going to get a whole bunch of miles, and he's going back to school, so he's going to be flying. So you can use the frequent flyer miles. I said, and I'll put the groceries on it every month and pay it off out of the household account so you've got credit. But, yeah, they force you into it. You have to think around it. And it's because the laws – and the laws, you know, our officials are bought and paid by lobbyists and by corporations and by people that make money. And now we're undoing things that we did to protect the consumer, because the people writing the checks weren't going to write as big a checks if that didn't happen. So who's running our country? What do you think?
I'm afraid to answer that question. Yeah, it's large corporations, you know, what are every other commercial on TV, you know, they tell you to, I was in Costco the other day and some little kid is in the cart, he couldn't have been more than four, and he's telling, mommy, I need to have Tylenol. The four-year-old is telling the mom what he needs, who knows why, and she grabs it off the shelf and puts it in the cart. That's who's running our world. That's who's brainwashing us. There's all that critical thinking out the window.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, it's really sad. It's really sad that, first of all, that one or two things was happening. The little boy might have heard his mother saying, oh, my God, you know, I need to get Tylenol. You know, I don't want to forget to get Tylenol. And so on a positive side, he may have been reminding her, but it doesn't sound like that. I have seen
no,
that.
No, he was
where...
reading a commercial that he had heard. He had the words down.
Oh yeah. See, I don't. I haven't had actual TV for, well, it's got to be going on 15 years now, I think.
I don't watch TV either.
Yeah. Well, I just don't have it. Don't have it in the. I mean, I will watch something on Netflix or I'll watch a DVD. But you know, the big difference, Victoria, is I have to make several choices, and the choices. Now, I'm not liking the fact that if you watch something on Netflix, it will automatically put the next thing on, because that's what I wanted to avoid. Because on TV, you'd sit there and you'd watch something, and it wasn't until there was enough drool built up on your remote control that you realized how long you'd been there. When it started to get slippery, you went, oh, yeah, I've been here for a few hours. What did I watch? I don't even remember. I think I laughed a few times, though, because it's so draining.
Let's ask our listeners, everyone, get rid of your TV.
Don't let your kids watch it until they're teenagers. Give them a thrill.
Yeah, or beyond. Yeah.
Or beyond. So we have a couple of more minutes before I know the sound's going to come on. What do you actually, you're a sales genius and trainer and a higher guidance business coach, which I know 30 years ago you weren't calling it a coach, because the only thing they called a coach 30 years ago were football coaches and baseball players. And I get that, because I went through that whole thing too, is when I first started using the word, it was like, what? I was like, because that's what we do. We're actually trying to give people skill sets versus just telling them what to do. So where are you located?
I'm in Tracy, California, which is about right in the middle of Sacramento and San Francisco.
Oh, okay. I actually throw an expo once a year called the Web of Light Expo, and my silver sponsor just flew out to San Francisco. He came in from Europe to sponsor, be one of my sponsors, and then was hopping from us over to you. So he's over there in your part of the world now.
Okay.
And who do you work with? Are you working with more companies or just individuals, entrepreneurs?
I am working with entrepreneurs and small business owners. And I love working with women, and a lot of men come to me.
Isn't that the way that it is? So entrepreneur is something that is near and dear to my heart. I've been teaching off and on for years at an MBA level entrepreneurial boot camp. So I'm all over this. One word of wisdom to somebody who wants to start a business. What's the first thing you would tell somebody if they said, I want to start a business?
Make sure you're committed. It takes time, energy, and it's not as easy as you think.
Yeah. Make sure you're committed. Good one. I like to tell them, make sure it's your passion.
Yes. That's a good one too.
Yeah. People, for some reason,
passion goes right along with commitment. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's easier to commit to something if you're passionate about it. Because we could all be disciplined to something we're not passionate about if we're passionate enough about the goal. You know, sometimes we'll get somewhere and we'll get somewhere by doing a lot of stuff we weren't passionate about, because the end result was worth it. So here we have the entrepreneur. They've got something they're passionate about. They're committed. What's next?
Create an extraordinary life and fit the business into that.
Now you're just what are they? You're talking sacrilege here. You're talking sacrilege. What do you mean? You don't get to be a business owner and an entrepreneur and have a life. That's not allowed. Who told you that? You must have been doing some drugs, honey. Don't you know that the biggest misconception out there is that if you own your own business, that you have to sacrifice your life, your wife, your family, your kids. and you put your dog on the street corner selling pencils to make a go of it. You didn't know that? Hadn't you heard that?
No, that's the big load of crap.
Yes, it is. But you know that that's a popular belief system.
It is a popular belief system. And people build up a business and have this amazing business or not so amazing business, and then they don't have a life.
Well, and it's interesting because I don't know if you've done this, you've observed this, I have, that because you're told that, you know, it's going to be 80 hours a week, they'll make 80 hours of work, whether there's 80 hours of work or not, because they feel somehow like they're going to get, there's going to be a black mark and they won't be successful. Have you seen that?
That's them buying into the belief. Don't believe everything that you're told. Yes, I have seen that. And we started this thing out with how important your beliefs are in regards to your success.
Absolutely. So I'm going to ask this question. How many hours a week do you work at your income generating business?
I want to say, average. I haven't, 20 to 25.
20 to 25. And you don't have to answer this question if you want. If you don't want, I get this, but I'm going for a point here. Are you self-supportive? I mean, like you, or do you rely on somebody else?
No, I don't rely on someone else.
Good. I want the audience to hear that. You can do this. Only you can work 20, 25 hours a week with your own business and make a good living. Victoria, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Kevin.
Bye.